You can experience Jesus, and when you do, you experience real life.
Previously on Experiencing Real Life.
We are expanding our footprint. We believe that we have something to offer, and I want to help reach Christians for Jesus. I want to see Christians get excited. I want to see people who have loved God for a long time go back to their first love, fall in love with the heart of Jesus all over again.
Welcome to Experiencing Real Life with founder and senior pastor of Open Door Church, Troy Brewer. Open Door Church is a non-denominational international ministry located at 301 South Dobson Street in Burleson, Texas, in the southern part of the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. You can find us on the web at opendoorexperience.com. And now, here's Pastor Troy.
Hello, everybody. Blessings and peace on you in the mighty name of Jesus. Troy Brewer here in big time Burleson, Texas at the amazing studios here at Open Door Church playing my brand new Breedlove 12 string. My goodness, this is a beautiful guitar. I actually bought it specifically for the Resurrection concert. And just listen to this tone, guys. You guys are going to love this. That's a holy sound. Oh man, I'm loving this guitar. Now, guys, if you're just now joining, you're like, whoa, what's going on? Pastor Troy always preaches. Well, not on Fridays. On Fridays, we air our podcasts, and you can find all of our podcasts, including this one, at troybrewer.com. Encourage you guys to go there and check that up, sign up for our podcast. Now, guys, I'm in the studio here today, but I'm not by myself. I'm in here with my very good friend, all the way from Uganda, East Africa, via London, England, I have Pastor Lincoln Sawanga. Hello, my brother.
It's great to be here. How are you?
I'm doing good. Can you just talk just so that we can all get used to it? Is that all right? It's going to take us a few minutes.
Uh-huh.
actually, it's one of the things I do. Every time I go anywhere, I just talk for a few minutes so everybody can get used to my hillbilly accent.
Sure.
Right on. But you've actually been in Britain for how long have you been there?
I arrived in Britain
1988. Wow, 88.
Yeah, so I forget how many years that is. My maths ain't that good.
No, you were like in your 40s in 1988, isn't that right?
No way.
No, I'm sorry. No, actually you
I'm
were.
I'm turning 54 this year.
Okay, well, yes. I just turned 50.
Okay.
Hey, this is what 50s ought to look like right here.
Oh, yes.
I wish that you guys could see us. We're both blonde-headed and blue-eyed. We're muscular. You ought to see us. We are a sight to behold. Actually, I look a lot more like Danny DeVito, and this guy. Well, you would just have to see this guy.
Denzel Washington.
Is that you, bro?
Like,
okay,
yeah.
Right on. Well, I don't know that the Spirit of God can stay with us if we keep telling lies. Brother, I'm grateful that you're here. You and I are friends. We've been friends. We actually met in 2001.
Yes.
You took a chance and you allowed me to speak at your church.
Yes, and we loved you. We love the times that you've come there. Always beautiful to listen to Troy Brewer.
Can you believe that that's been 16 years ago?
Yeah, great.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, and a recent reunion, and God's connecting us again, and things are going to be good.
I want to encourage everybody that's listening, man, to pay close attention to the connections that God gives you. You know, there's supernatural connections are so important to any army that's going to be built from dry bones.
Sure.
After the sound of the rattling, the first thing is the sinews.
Mm.
That's the first thing is those connections.
Oh, the connections.
Those relationships, those supernatural relationships. And I challenge everybody that's listening on the radio right now. Guys, listen, man, pay attention. By the way, listen, all you have to do to have a bunch of dope head friends is smoke pot, okay? And then you'll have all kinds of dope head friends. All you got to do to have crazy people is grow up in a crazy place like all of us have. But you know what? If you're going to have... If the Spirit of the Lord is going to do something amazing with you, you're going to have to let Him join you, fitly joined, as the temple of God, and members joined together within the body of Christ. This strange dual thing of being a body and being a temple at the same exact time has to do with who we are connected with.
Sure. Indeed.
Wow. I thought you would just expound on that and go off.
No,
because
I'm just out. I'm profounded out.
Your mind is already blown?
Yeah.
We just got started. Well, I do want to tell everybody how you and I met before we get off into some really cool things. But I actually, in 2001, I had a plane ticket to go to India on the 20th of September in 2001. And then we know that 2011 changed It changed all the airlines.
Sure.
And I ended up going to England instead on the 20th of September in 2001. And I remember it was a 747 and there wasn't but like five or six people on the airplane.
Mm.
It was an amazing thing. You know, everybody was terrified to fly.
Flying, yes.
After 9/11. And I remember it was American Airlines, and American Airlines is based right here, you know, in Fort Worth, Texas. And the guy gets on there and says, "All right, well, you'll notice that we have a full crew and we have nobody on the plane. And let's all just make a pact right here, right now. If anybody causes any trouble, we will beat them beyond recognition." And we all went, "Yeah." So he's like, "Feel free to move about the cabin. You can come sit in first class if you want to." So we all moved up in first class, and it was amazing.
Wow.
And then I got to England and didn't know a single person in the world, didn't know why in the world I was in England instead of India. And I busted out a Yellow Pages phone book. I called every single church in London, and the first Sunday I preached in five different churches.
And one of them was mine.
One of them was yours.
Yeah, I found this voicemail saying, "Hey, this is Troy Brewer from Open Door Church."
Wow, that's pretty good.
That's my best attempt at an American accent, a Texan accent. Yeah, we were doing a series on doors. I'd just spoken on doors. And the key point was open door.
That
God is creating an open door. God is a God who opens doors for us. But we talked about different types of doors, that there are locked doors. There are absent doors, actually, when there's just a wall and it's like, where do I pass? So there's a no door. There is locked door. There is sliding door.
Wow.
There is open, automatic door. You walk towards it, then it will open. If you don't walk there, nothing happens.
Okay, so you were actually preaching that series when you got this strange phone call from me.
Yeah, so I said, whoever he is, I want him here.
Which was crazy. it was ridiculous. And when I saw how awesome your church was and how big it was, I knew it was a big deal that you had let a guy that you didn't know get there and preach.
Yes.
Listen, Pastor, we only have about 30 seconds left before the first break. And whenever we come back from the first break, can we talk about can we carry on the conversation that we've had going on this morning?
Yes.
My friends, this is Troy Brewer, and I'm talking to you live from the studios here at Open Door Church, and this is our Friday broadcast, which of course is a podcast, and you can find this and many other podcasts just exactly like it at troybrewer.com. I'll be right back with you in 31 seconds.
You've been listening to Pastor Troy from Open Door Church. Pastor Troy would like to personally invite you out to visit him at Open Door Church in Burleson, Texas. You can also watch our services live at opendoorexperience.com. Now, let's get back to Pastor Troy as he continues to preach the Word of God.
Welcome back to the studios here at Open Door Church in Big Time Burleson, Texas. I'm Pastor Troy Brewer. And man, I want to just tell you guys, it's a big deal that you guys are plugging into our podcast. You can find this content, you can find this entire podcast at troybrewer.com. And I'm sitting in here with my good friend, Pastor Lincoln Sawanga. On Tuesday mornings, at the time that we're recording this, it's actually a Tuesday morning. And on Tuesday mornings, Pastor Lincoln, we do our staff meeting. You visited us in church on Sunday, and then you visited us again this morning, and you got a chance to speak to all my staff. And what do you think about our staff, by the way?
You have an awesome team. I really feel that people are plugged together. There's such a spirit of friendship and oneness here, and I just find everyone's clued up here. You guys are awesome.
Thank you. You know what? We fight hard for that. I tell people all the time, if I catch you doing a job, I'll fire you. This is a life that you live.
Yes,
it's not a job that you do.
It's
not a job that you do. It's a life that you live.
Amen.
You know, how can I fire you if you're living a life, right?
Sure.
And so I hate a culture of fear. I hate a culture of micromanagement. Mm. I love enthusiasm. I love it to be life-giving. And I love for us to celebrate each other and for us to live life together.
Bless God.
It's a big deal. So today you brought in an amazing message to teach all of my leadership. Would you mind sharing some of that with us?
Yes, we've been on a journey in London of looking at discipleship afresh. And we thought, what does it really look like? And the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 41 through to the end of that chapter seems to define for me in a nutshell what a church in revival and believers in full Christian expression look like. Wow. It says then, verse 41 of chapter 2, book of Acts, then those who gladly received the word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all who had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God, having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. I just found, Troy, that in that portion is a description of a dream church, a dream Christian community. And we distilled 7 points that seem to encapsulate a discipleship lifestyle. Number one, the apostles, but first of all, daily. It says they met daily.
Yes,
principle
sir.
One is daily. Principle two is doctrine, the apostles' doctrine. Number three is prayer. Number four is fellowship. Number five is breaking bread.
Come on.
Number six is sharing, as in giving and receiving, giving to God and to each other. And finally, mission, which was the preaching of the gospel. And there's seven powerful principles, and the number seven speaks of completion, and
come on.
I just thought you could extract more principles out of that, but I feel the rest are products of these seven. And in looking at these seven principles, we were zooming in on the breaking of bread as a simple, perhaps a very ordinary thing that we all do. We all eat, and breaking of bread obviously is translated immediately into Holy Communion, and that is easily defined as a ceremony in church where we have a small wafer and a small little tiny bitty drink, and we receive the body and the blood, and that's the ceremony of it.
Right.
But the original historical context of breaking of bread, the word breaking bread defines how the Jewish meal is commenced. So the head of the house breaks bread,
okay,
and that's how the meal is commenced. Blessed be God who gives us bread from the earth, and he breaks the bread.
No kidding.
And the meal commences.
So that literally, so they start off, they're like, okay, there's an official kickoff to how we're going to eat.
Yeah.
And they honor God in that place.
Blessed be God who brings forth bread upon the, from the earth, and the bread is broken, and the meal commences. Mm. Because bread is at the heart of the Jewish meal. And so they are actually having a meal.
Okay.
This is what's going on there. So they ate meals from house to house. But the concept of breaking bread, obviously, is redeemed by Christ on the Last Supper as he sat with the disciples. It was a meal. It was a Passover meal. And it's in the context of that meal that the communion happens. And the bread and the wine are actually, the bread is eaten at the beginning of the meal. And it says, after they had eaten, he took the cup.
Come on.
Yeah, so it wasn't like a moment in the meal.
Right.
So the whole meal is sandwiched in the remembrance of the Lord.
Wow.
In the eating of the body and the drinking of the blood at the end.
Okay, so what you and I have been talking about is in the midst of this meal, and we just have 1 minute left here before we have our next break, is that there is a way to actually have a supernatural appointment with God every time you eat.
Absolutely.
Every time.
Absolutely.
And Paul was talking about that, and we're going to continue to talk about that whenever we get back. You got about 30 seconds left.
30 seconds. What can I say? Right from the beginning, spirituality and eating have been together.
Excellent.
The fall of man was about eating a fruit.
Yes. Wow. Yes.
And the governing of human appetite, the direction of human appetite, and connecting it back to the passion of the heart and devotion to God is a critical way that we can actually experience God vividly daily.
Okay, my friends, whenever we get back here, we're going to take a short break, and whenever we get back, we're going to unpack this, because what's real is there's a prophetic appointment every time we meet with God.
Are you interested in having more access to Pastor Troy's content? Do you ever wish you could watch his conferences again? Are you someone who loves exclusive content? Well, troybrewer.tv is exactly that. At troybrewer.tv, you can see all of Pastor Troy's exclusive content, podcasts, conferences, and so much more. Be sure to drop by and see everything troybrewer.tv has to offer you.
Troy Brewer here playing my brand new 12-string Breedlove, which makes the world a lot better place. And I'm in the studio as we are recording a podcast that we are going to be airing live all over the world on all of our radio stations. And also, too, that you can listen to in its entirety at troybrewer.com. I'm talking to Pastor Lincoln Sawanga, and we're talking about actually finding God in a prophetic appointment through the simplicity of whenever we eat. Now, that's called a moedim, by the way. The Hebrew word for prophetic appointment is moedim, and many times we translate that word in English as a season.
All right.
So in Genesis, where it says, God created the sun and the moon and the stars for times and for seasons and for days and for years, for signs and for seasons and for days and years, a sign is a prophetic message. A season is a prophetic appointment.
Right.
Right on. Mm. So carry on, my brother. Carry on. So help me out here. Let's rehash just a little bit.
Yeah, basically, in the breaking of bread, we need to redeem. First of all, we need to properly define the breaking of bread.
Come on.
Other than a ceremonial event that happens at church mediated by a pastor or a priest, breaking of bread happened in the early church day to day, every day, house to house. They were breaking bread. This was part of their spiritual expression and celebration of Christian life. The Bible says they ate their food with gladness.
Yes.
There was a whole new sense in which they were approaching their meals, and it was exciting to eat together. It wasn't just stuffing faces and building up on your calories and nutrients. It becomes an opportunity to encounter God and each other.
I just thought of a scripture. Now, in the New Testament, it says they ate their bread with gladness.
Yes.
But the curse that came upon Adam was that he would eat his bread in the sweat of his face.
You see.
Do you remember that?
Oh, yes, I do.
Oh, my gosh, I've never connected that.
Yes, and the beauty of food in its place spiritually is that the tree of life is what made Adam and Eve, is what was making Adam and Eve live forever. When they fell, God expels them from the garden that they may not eat of the tree of life.
And then they begin the process of dying.
That's when death begins.
Yeah,
and the tree of life is a living concept that you find still in Revelation.
That's right.
There is a tree of life somehow in eternity. God still wants us to bring together the joy of the taste of food with the receiving of his own life. Taste and see that Lord is good. Jesus says, my body is food indeed, my blood is drink indeed. There's something there. God is using something we delight to do. I've never seen anyone, well, a few people with eating disorders, but most people eat out of instinct, out of passion and desire.
Yes.
We love to eat.
Like, whoa.
And God wants us to connect that to our spirituality and our devotion to him. And so it's no chance or coincidence that somehow through the scriptures, spiritual devotion has always been linked back to human appetite for food.
King Jesus, that's awesome. No, that's a profound revelation.
Yeah, so God says in Exodus 22 to a whole, 3 million Israelites, he says, if you worship me, Exodus 23:25, you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness from among you, and none of you shall be barren or miscarry.
Wow.
And there is God saying, I'm going to bless your food if you worship me.
Come on,
you think,
Hallelujah.
Whoa, God is interested in what I put on my plate, and he wants to communicate something to that food as I eat it.
Hallelujah.
And so food is meant to be an opportunity for us to receive God's blessing into our lives, and health and healing can flow out of that. So in the 1 Corinthians 11, when Paul is writing about how food had gone wrong in the church in Corinth, he's saying, you guys are eating wrong. You're not considering each other. Some are full, some are hungry. That's why you guys are ill. There's illness amongst you because it's not the Lord's table that you're coming to.
Oh, Jesus.
It's become something else. You've taken away the spirituality of your meals, and it has become a selfish expression of each one fulfilling their own appetites. And so he says, examine your hearts, check your hearts so that you do not eat judgment unto yourself. And so communion is meant to for us to be restored to the context of the family meal, is my conviction, that a family needs to take a moment to remember the Lord. And what we call, let's say grace, let's pray and bless the food, can sometimes become a religious or a point. We're just doing religion. But it's a point at which we dedicate our food to God, that he may bless it and take away sickness from our midst, that our barren may conceive and bring forth children. And I believe that as the Lord blesses our food, it can become a supernatural moment for us to encounter him around the table. The table in its place has always been the gathering place, and you find actually in the Western world what Satan has done, not just the Western world, but around the world, is the destruction of the dinner table, the collective meal. People serve and put their food in the microwave and go to their room.
Yep.
And people do not pull together to eat together. But it's meant originally to be a point of coming together as one house, one home, one family. We connect. We look each other in the eye. Pass me the sauce. Pass me the potatoes. It's communion. It is fellowship. And it's all commenced with us thanking God together and dedicating this food and asking him to be in our midst. And so Jesus crowns 3.5 years of ministry at a table.
Wow.
And you'd have thought there would have been a better way to do that. But he brings everybody around the table. And right around that table, all issues begin to arise. What he has invested in these guys, the oneness, the covenant, the sacrifice, the blood, the sweat, it all crowns on this day. And he says, one of you guys is in trouble right around this table. That's where families need to crown our time together, is we can't bring war and disputes and unresolved issues to our dinner table. Our dinner table should challenge us to put things right.
Hallelujah.
Because as we remember the Lord, whatever we eat physically reminds us of his body, because his food, his body is food indeed. And whatever we drink, whether it's iced tea or Coke,
that's right,
should make us remember that he shed his blood for us. That way we are redeeming communion from being merely a ceremony at church to being a daily experience, because we eat of him and we drink of him daily in all that we do. He is our food. He is our nourishment. And so this can powerfully transform a person's life if every meal, if you imagine breakfast, lunch, dinner, even a snack, can be a point of stopping, examining my heart, remembering I belong to a family. Biologically, also spiritually. I belong to Open Door.
Amen.
Am I walking right with my pastor? Amen. Am I resolved in my disputes? Even as I eat, I remember the Lord. I celebrate his body. I remember, I celebrate his blood. That's what it's about. And so I believe there's a need to redeem food and eating.
Come on.
And bring it back into its right original
role
as a point of encounter with him who blesses us with food and drink.
My God. Okay, you know, even at the very end, when it's finally all over, when God finally has his way, he sets us all down at the same table called the Marriage Supper of the Lamb.
Marriage Supper of the Lamb.
Which is crazy. And, you know, he says in the book of Revelation that part of the experience of hearing the voice of God and engaging with him and inviting him into, inviting King Jesus into your life is he says, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. Mm-hmm. And if any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him. We're going to sit down and we're going to have supper together, just like we're family. Pastor Lincoln, you have about a minute left here. And I want you to just sum this up for us, please.
Well, the real challenge here is to understand that God wants us to have daily renewal.
Yes.
He doesn't want us to heap up unresolved issues with each other, with him, But that also that is tagged to a very basic sense in which we need nourishment daily in our bodies. And so my exhortation, as we seek to see a move of God in our world, in our cities, in our neighborhoods, in our homes, is let us redeem the food and the eating moment, that Jesus is exalted in our eating.
All right, well, listen to this. Wait for it, here it comes. Right there. Boom. Okay, my friends, we have been listening to Pastor Lincoln Sawanga, and I want to just say, Pastor, thank you so much. Thank you, man of God, for joining us. Thank you, sir, for coming all the way from the other side of the world. We need you here.
Bless God.
We need the way that you carry the presence of God. Mm-hmm. We need you. You know, it used to be that God used to send Americans to Africa all the time, and he still does. You know, I'm one of those Americans, but now God loves to send Africans to America as well and bring the presence of God here through the anointing that you bring. So I bless you.
Bless God.
And I say thank you for that. My friends, I want to just say a great big God bless you, and I want to challenge you to use the everyday common experience of eating every time you sit down at the table and go, wait a minute, this could be a prophetic appointment. I can meet God right here. I can examine myself. I can discern the body. I can actually bring the Lord into this, and it can be life to me in an incredible way. I only have 1 minute left before we're all the way gone, and I want to encourage all of our listeners to go and to listen to this podcast and many others at troybrewer.com. At troybrewer.com, you'll find all kinds of information, where I'm speaking at, what I'm doing. There's all kinds of cool stuff on there, including Answer International and how we are saving girls out of sexual trafficking. We just now redeemed our 73rd girl. Isn't that amazing?
Exciting.
73. So we have another 52 targeted that we want to save, and we're going after. My friends, I encourage you to stand with me in that endeavor. Please consider giving towards that at troybrewer.com. Now, guys, I close on this. This coming Sunday, you can join us live or online at this amazing church that's called Open Door Church in Big Time Burleson, Texas. And if you want to join us online or live, simply go to our website, opendoorexperience.com, or call 817-295-7671. Hello, my friends. Blessings and peace on you. This is Troy Brewer, and I'm the senior pastor here at Open Door Church in Big Time, Burleson, Texas, lifelong Johnson County resident. And you know, at this time of year, we all start looking at our purpose. We all start looking at, hey, we might need to reset our dials. We might need to make sure that we're more like a laser beam than we are like a shotgun. And I want to just invite you and yours to come out and join us here at Open Door Church. Open Door Church is growing. We're thriving. You know, we have the Open Door Food Bank that feeds over 45,000 people a year. We have 7 different orphanages throughout the world. We have a national radio broadcast. But more than that, we have a tribe and a community of beautifully flawed people who are just madly in love with the Lord Jesus Christ. Come out and join us this coming Sunday. Bring your family. Bring your issues, bring your expectation, and prepare to lead change. For more information, go to opendoorexperience.com.